This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
All right, welcome in, everybody. Happy Tuesday to you, sports fans. The Royals get a big hit last night. Did anybody else stay up late? A little tired this morning. Waiting for the big hit. Finally, it did come late in the game, but it meant we all stayed up real late to watch them get it. So I'm one of them. I'm a little sleepy here this morning, Tommy Caster. Max Powers also in. Thanks for tuning in on KFH today. We're glad to have you. This should be a fun show. We've got Paul Mills coming up, I believe, next segment. That should be the plan. He's going to talk about that incoming class with us. We're looking forward to that. Felix Johnson also stopping by. Our Chiefs insider will get his takes on anything with the Chiefs. It's kind of slow, but we'll look around the NFL as well. Still no Aaron Rodgers news, by the way. So we'll get with some NFL news with Felix Johnson. Have some fun there. We will get you ready for the rest of this Royals series. We've got all kinds of good stuff. NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs get back underway tonight. Tommy, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. It's a quick turnaround in the NBA. The Thunder back in action tonight after that Sunday Game 7 win against Denver. They're back at home against the Minnesota Timberwolves for Game 1 of that series. So that's going to be a juggernaut matchup between those two teams. And that one, of course, Knicks Pacers, that rivalry renewed. We've got some pretty good matchups here in the NBA playoffs.
Should be good. Should be fun. We're looking forward to it. We are glad it's here. And it should be, it should be a fun show. And we've got Shocker Baseball today. It should be a great show there as well with the Shocker Baseball team. And hopefully they can continue this momentum that they have garnered late in the season, much like they did last year. And who knows, maybe they can do something special in the conference tournament. I think we're going to be in for a good show today, Tommy. Shocker fans, get ready. This will be our introduction to a lot of these new players, and there are a lot of new players this year for Shocker basketball. And we will ask Coach Mills about those players and, you know, see what he thinks. Did you stay up late with the Royals last night, Tommy?
I did not. I stayed up as long as I could.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
I couldn't get the entire way through. I will say, though, I think we've got receipts, and I don't think we've got it ready to go, but I distinctly remember yesterday on the show saying I wouldn't be surprised if it's a 0-0 game through seven innings, and that's exactly what we had last night. You know, Bubic pitched another gem, and it was late game offense for Kansas City, and they were able to get it done.
They got it done. And that's the way it's going to have to get done for a while here, it would appear, right? This is the way that they're going to play. And I don't know what else, Tommy, to say. You know, we talk about it all the time, but it's, you know, nothing is going to change immediately. This is the style that they play. It just is. And I don't know what's going to change, but they're going to have to win games like this against good teams often enough to stay in it until they can get some help in the lineup. We can't just keep waiting for the lineup to change at this point. Hopefully it will, but I don't know how you can plan for that. Vinny Pasquantino delivered the big hit last night. That was great to see. You know, 2 for 4. He had a really nice game. Brought that batting average all the way up to .228, Tommy. Like, he's got a long way to go, but that's progress, and that's what we want to see. Salvi, well, he continues to struggle right now. And, I don't know. It's an elephant in the room of sorts. He's the captain. He's all these things. He just doesn't look good at all at the plate. It's not like he's hitting the ball hard or anything. He just doesn't look very good. And so they've got him locked in, though, to that 4 spot, and they need him badly, and hopefully he can work through it. Garcia had a couple more hits. Canna had a couple more hits. So it was a weird game, too, because they did – how many hits did they have? 10 hits in the game. There was a point before Vinny's hit where they were getting to some degree, Robbie Ray, who was very good, but he'd given up 6 hits. He was – like, the Royals were making some noise, but they just couldn't get anything across. Bubich was fantastic. No hitting them through. What did he get through on, like, 5 1/3? And then there was like an infield single on a fluke play where Massey slipped on the outfield grass trying to retrieve long foul ball, whatever it was. But they got a little bit of trouble there in the 8th inning with the bullpen, but they got through it. And Estevez was good again, and that's good. That's kind of the formula. They're going to have to get really good starting pitching. You're going to have to hope for maybe 3 runs. You're going to have to hope for that, which is totally unfair to the pitching staff to say, hey, you got to hold them under 3 every game. But that's kind of the way it is when they're going to win these games.
It's the way that it is, and the pitching staff has accepted that challenge, and they basically have the entire year. I mean, you know, there have been outliers where they haven't been able to hold their opponents down. But by and large, I think that the pitching staff recognizes the challenge. I think they know that this offense is not going to put up a bunch of runs game in and game out. So it's really going to be up to them to be able to hold their opponents down. And that's what Bubich did last night, for sure. He was incredible. I think what also makes the whole middle of the lineup dilemma even more difficult is you look at the bottom of the lineup, and Michael Massey was 0-for-4, and Hunter Renfroe was 0-for-3. Hunter Renfroe is unplayable. And I understand that they don't have a whole lot of other options there. It's not like they've got a bunch of depth, but I mean, Renfroe's batting a measly .173. His OPS is under 5. And I know that he's in the 8th spot right now in the lineup. He shouldn't be in the lineup at all. He shouldn't be on the roster at all. Michael Massey should probably take a seat until he can get things worked out and figured out. You know, so we spend a lot of time, and rightfully so, on the middle of the lineup and what's ailing Salvi and what's going on with Vinny. Of course, Vinny had a good game last night and everything, but because of that, you know, all the attention on those couple of guys, there's not quite as much attention on the fact that you've got automatic outs at the bottom of your lineup. And we've been seeing that for some time now.
Yeah. And you know, the middle gets the focus to some degree because it's driving in runs that has been such a challenge. It's so weird, right? Because Jonathan India is right where you thought he'd be when he came over, right? Bobby Witt Jr.'s fine. His power has been a little lacking, but he's still productive. Michael Garcia is having one of the great, you know, breakout seasons in baseball right now. Canna's been a good hitter. Isbell's been a good hitter. I mean, you're looking at 5, 6 guys, there 7 maybe, that have been productive. It's just not leading to any runs at all. And so that's where that's why I keep looking at the middle. Like, that's their job, is to do that. That, you know, these other guys, like, it's not, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh boy, Kyle Isbell needs to be driving in more runs.
No, not at all. But when Hunter Renfroe is 0-for-4, and his OPS is .450 or whatever it is, you can't continue to trot him out there.
Because what are you providing at that point? It's not like this, you know, tremendous defense. It's not like when Michael A. Taylor was in the lineup, right? Like, it's not like there's just, I get it. They paid him a lot, you know, relatively speaking, a lot of money to be there, but I'm with you. Like, what are we doing here? Like, we've seen it now for 2 years. It's not just a year. It's 2 years we've seen this. So we'll get more into the Royals as we make our way through this morning. Not to worry. We have some giveaways that we'll get to today. All kinds of good stuff. Thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for the tune-up this morning, because it was a late night watching the Royals, and we're glad to have that. Paul Mills, we expect to be in next segment. We'll try to work on that connection here and have that for you, Shocker fans. We'll ask him about the new players, the class as a whole, what it has been like out there in the portal for the Shockers this offseason. Portal Paul in next on Sports Daily.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Question for our listeners: which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint: it's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH. And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
And we have Wichita State head coach Paul Mills with us here on Sports Daily, joining Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster. Coach, Have you caught up on any sleep yet? I've been telling you, it's portal season, and we appreciate so greatly the Portal Paul moniker that you gave yourself right there at the end of the season. But I cannot imagine, like, I don't want to say, has it been fun? It can't be fun, but how has it been in this wildest season yet of the transfer portal?
Well, I've been called worse than Portal Paul, so that one doesn't impact me much. It's definitely different. I mean, there's a part of me that feels really bad for fans and people who follow basketball, simply because you're like, who are these new guys? I don't know any of these people. And you don't have there isn't this, you know, hey, I previously knew Ron Baker. I previously knew Fred. And you just don't get that level of connection between fans and players anymore. Unfortunately, I think it's one of the realities of moving forward. But at the same time, I do think that it's probably easier to assemble a team given that a lot of schools have resources for rosters, especially now that revenue sharing is on the brink of actually happening. So all of that being said, there's a part of me that enjoys it, but then there's the same part of me that's like, man, I enjoy having a group of guys that are back and are familiar with terminology and understand what's being taught. So I have mixed emotions about it.
When you talk about that familiarity, Coach, I know that it's hard with intangibles when you're bringing in new players to know, especially like how is their chemistry? How will they work with one another? I mean, that's a kind of a complete unknown, at least on paper. You know a lot about, you know, these individual players that you're bringing in, but how important is that from day one, once this class is in place, to try to start to build that familiarity?
It's 100% accurate. I mean, you have to find yourself in, like, I know who you are. I have some idea about who you are as a player. You go through and you try to see where their game has been upgraded based upon what happened in March versus, well, when they show up in June. Players are spending a lot of times right now working on their game, given that the fact that they don't have school. At least I should say, hopefully, they're spending a lot of time working on their game. But there are elements of I don't know you as an individual. You know what? It's one thing for people to like basketball, but I don't know how much you love it. You know, I'm a little fanatical about this stuff, and I chose it as a profession. And there's a lot of players who, and I do this because I'm tall, or I do this because I'm fast, or, you know what, I was better than other people at this particular stage of life at this particular sport. But then it really gets amped up here. And so you kind of get some insight into just who they are. Because I let them know up front, especially during the recruiting process, that this is going to be difficult. This is going to be hard, and you need to understand it. And what is their level of taste for hard? You know, as they go through it, like, what is their appetite for really digging in deep? And that's one of the things we figure out at 8 a.m. workouts during the month of June.
It feels like head coach Paul Mills, Wichita State basketball, with us on Sports Daily, that we saw the team last year really do a lot of that stuff, buy in, as they kind of got through. You guys got through the first part of conference play, and then something clicked. Whenever we watch it, it felt like, man, this team's like they're getting nasty. They're going to be great defensively. Then in this portal class, it kind of felt like you guys were emphasizing that a little bit. It is so hard to track and observe and like wonder what's going on, but it did feel like with some of these additions that you guys were really locked into a type of player that fit what helped you guys get on that heater last year. Is that the case? Were you out specifically looking for a specific kind of player there, or do you have to just sort of let the chips fall a little bit in this process?
No, I mean, I think you definitely orchestrate a roster that you feel is capable of winning and what you believe adds to winning. And so for us last year, I mean, we had a situation with Ronnie DeGray getting injured, and it was just really, really difficult to overcome. I think people who follow us and are familiar with basketball just understand his value. And so when he went out, we really had a tough time, especially defensively. But, you know, his value offensively is hidden. I don't know how many people remember the game at Florida Atlantic, but he was easily the best player on the floor. And he cared about both ends of the game, you know. The first call I actually made, we were at the conference tournament, and, you know, a number of teams' seasons had ended. And I inquired once I saw that Caron Boyd, who was Defensive Player of the Year in the Southern Conference, when I saw that he entered the portal, I was just like, man, 6'5", because most of your Defensive Players of the Year are either bigs because they block shots, or they're littles because they generate a lot of steals and create havoc and pressure in the backcourt. But the fact that, you know, Caron was available, and that was definitely an emphasis. And then we wanted to address the shooting piece. You know, I thought we were solid defensively last year. We didn't come out of the gate very well, but you know, once we changed some things, and specifically Ronnie DeGray getting back, we were really able to make strides there. All that being said, that we really struggled to make shots on the perimeter. I don't want to bore you with a whole bunch of numbers here, but we were the best team in the country at getting shots at the rim. 35% of our shots were at the rim. And we were actually top 15 in the country at generating open threes, right? People aren't just going to let you dunk the basketball. So they're going to prevent you. And so you need to be able to spray that out and have guys who can make shots. This group we have coming in, there's two things that stand out about them offensively. They're a 7% better shooting team. Last year's team at Wichita State, we shot 30% from three, which was near the bottom in the country. But this group collectively is at 37%. So that's a 7% jump. And then the assist to turnover ratio is also pretty high. It's nearly 2-1. So we've just gathered stats, what these guys have done at the Division I level, and compared it to with last year's team. So defensively, we wanted to make sure we added somebody in Caron Boyd. Also feel we got a really good one in Will Berg from Purdue at 7'2". You're going to be a pretty good rim protector given that kind of size. And then we needed to address some turnover ball security issues as well as shooting.
I think on that note, Coach, you know, with Boyd not only being the conference defensive player of the year last year in the SoCon, but you get additional defensive help and length in a guy in Jarrett Valencia from Monmouth and what he brings to the table. It certainly, to me, in my limited knowledge, admittedly, it certainly seems like the not only the priority in defensive ability, but also in length as well. You've got a ton of length, and you mentioned Will Berg, a core four transferred in. So you've got height, you've got length, you've got the ability to guard at a variety of different positions. I would imagine that becomes a major identity focus point of this team.
Man, you know, if you were to walk into a film session, usually the first three things that we tell the team is we're going to rebound the ball, number one. We're going to take care of the ball, number two, and we're going to share the ball, number three. And rebounding, we were the best rebounding team in our conference last year. That needs to continue. I know it's a staple and it's a hallmark here of Wichita State teams at the past, but philosophically, it's also something that I really believe in. You know, it's not difficult. Every rebound that occurs in a basketball game is offensive. Whether you can extend a possession or whether you, hey, you know what, I got a rebound and now we're going to start offense because we were able to rebound the other team's glass. So all of that being said is we need to be good there. We need to be better there. I know we were number one in the league, but the truth is we need to be amongst the top in the country. And so that's definitely an emphasis. And I will tell you, you know, going back to your point, there are a number of pieces. You mentioned Jarrett Valencia, who's already on campus here. Like, I mean, there are people who can already add to our defensive ability. And I feel that we need to get upgraded. I find myself simple doesn't necessarily mean simplistic, but it is one of those things in the summer where we're basically practicing. I mean, we get 4 hours, so we spend Tuesdays, Thursdays, and 2-hour practices. And then Monday, Wednesdays, Fridays, they're with the strength coach, but then they kind of play. We're not spending, I used to spend like an hour every day, so that way we saw them, you know, four times a week. It's changed. You have to get everybody on the same page. So we're looking forward to the implementation process that'll begin for us on June 2nd.
We are too. Everybody wants to meet these guys so badly. We can come back to some of the specific players, Coach. Paul Mills joining us, Wichita State head men's basketball coach. I want to know what it's like on the recruiting trail as the head coach of Wichita State in this new time that everybody's dealing with. Like, what does Wichita State carry out there for you when you're reaching out and contacting guys?
Well, I mean, the biggest thing that players want to do is they want to play, you know, and they want to know that they can get better. And so I think one of the things that you sell is, I know our staff has coached 44 NBA guys, And so we kind of know what it looks like. We've been around it. We've seen it. We've had the opportunity to be a part of NCAA tournament teams. And you know, whether it was opportunities that we all experienced at other locations, but there's also a history here. And so we understand that there's a history here. There's a fan base here. So I think there's just so many things that you talk about through this process. I am a big believer that the better we can get the player, the better we can get the team. And so we spend a lot of time showing guys progress. I'll give you an example. If you're familiar with Ken Pomeroy, Ken Pomeroy ranks everybody in the conference. And Xavier Bell brought this up to me. But of the 93 players that were ranked in offensive efficiency his junior year, he was ranked 91. And I told him that, man, one, it's not good enough. But two, we are going to have to go out there and recruit. And I remember him thinking, he told me, he said, thank you for bringing that to me. And then this past year, he was a first-team all-league guy. And I remember when we presented to the team, Xavier Bell has been recognized as first-team all-conference. He said, Coach, what was I ranked last year? 91st. And it was just something that stuck in his head that entire time. But it is also something that you show recruits. Our players get better. This is not an opinion. This is a fact. Yeah. Quincy Ballard is the most improved player in the country during the past 2 years. If you go look at his offensive efficiency to where he started when we got here to where he was at the end, he was the most improved. And so we do a lot of that. We just show guys our track record of being able to help them. And then we show them that they can be in an environment where people genuinely care about the progress of the team. Us as coaches, we care about the progress of the player because the progress of the player can make the progress of the team. But fans here care about the progress of the team, and you're going to be in an environment-rich environment to aid your process.
I got to ask you about the staff coach. It was announced last week, PJ Cousinar joining your staff. I'm a Wichita guy. I followed him when he was in college, was a key part of that Sweet 16 run back in 2006. Now joining your staff, coming back home to Wichita, of course, his son also on the roster, Pierre, for you as well. What has that addition been like? I know it's been pretty early, but at least the importance of having PJ on your staff.
Yeah, I've actually followed PJ, just being a Houston guy. I followed PJ when he was in high school. And, you know, one of the we played those guys in the Virgin Islands when he was a senior. It was Coach Marshall's first team here and played those guys when I was at Baylor. And so I've been on the bench and watched him play here at Wichita State, but was really impressed with him as a high school player and then have watched his career. I mean, we recruited a number of guys that he was around while I was at Baylor. I recruited and landed several players off of his teams when I was the head coach at Oral Roberts. And then he is, you know, very plugged in, and he's helped us since we've been here at Wichita State. And so it's one of those, you want people who are passionate about the game and assisting players and making sure that you're doing right by those. But you also want people who want to add a ton of value to Wichita State. He checks all those boxes. And then when you add in the fact that you have an alumnus who not only was on the team, but was really good and understands what this looks like when this place is going, I think those are all pluses. And PJ's a huge plus to our staff.
Man, fans are fired up about it too, Coach. I know that. Just seeing people's reaction to it. People were telling me I'm not from here. And he was one of the first players people told me about when I got here about 11 years ago is PJ Cousinar. So that's I know fans are fired up about that. And we're fired up that you've got your guys in and we can see them now as a team. I know you're making the rounds today. You're going to talk a lot about these players. We cannot wait for you to get them in the gym and to learn about what you're seeing from them actually on the court. Is the portal done? Are you guys full?
Yeah, I wouldn't say that.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I think we've got room to be able to add players. We're just not out there. One, I think a lot of people are trying to, we've got, what is it, 9 more days until we officially know who's staying in the NBA draft, who isn't. But there are still players that we're pursuing. So it's I think a lot of guys, you know, just to make sure fans don't misunderstand, there are some players out there that are asking for several million dollars. We're not chasing any of those guys. We do not have those resources. But at the same time, you are always searching for guys that you believe like that particular player has a chance. And if he can be with us and be in this environment for a year, we think he could grow. So I think there's a lot of those situations where you're looking for diamonds in the rough right now.
We love it. We love to see him grow. Good luck today with all your talks you're giving on these guys. We can't wait to see him in the gym. Coach, we'll do this again once you do have a chance to get him in the gym and work him out a little bit and get him in person. Thanks for being here. Boo Astros, go Rangers.
We got 2 of 3 last week.
I know. wasn't too happy about it. All right, Coach. Thank you for being
here.
Jacob,
Tommy, thank you guys.
Thanks, Coach.
There goes head coach Paul Mills, Wichita State men's basketball coach. It is a wild, wild era of college basketball. It is. And I think that, you know, as we settle the dust on it, Tommy, when it all started and we saw Quincy Ballard and Corey Washington, we didn't even have a chance to get into those guys, honestly. When we saw them leave, though, it was a little and then now that the class has come together, I like it. I like the way the pieces fit on paper, which is all we have anywhere.
That's all we have. That's all. Like. That's all Paul Mills has too. Until he can get him in the gym and working together. I mean, I think on paper, I mean, it looks really good.
Good stuff with Kevin Saul there. Paul Mills, appreciate his time. I know he's got some other stuff doing today. So I think
we had Paul. We had Paul Mills on the show.
What did I say?
Kevin Saul. We have Kevin tomorrow.
I was just texting Kevin Saul to make sure he was coming on tomorrow. Yeah, thanks, Paul Mills and Kevin Saul for coming tomorrow to talk about everything else. But yeah, good stuff with Paul Mills there. If you missed any of it, go back and listen on the Odyssey app. I think the most topical thing there, Tommy, that we sort of backed into just a little bit is they're not necessarily done. Not necessarily done. It sounds like they're just not done. And like many teams, KU, and we'll talk to Sri Aslada about this this week as well, kind of waiting for that draft process to end and let those players sort of come back into the mix. I think what's interesting about that is those are going to be highly coveted players, right? When that process happens, he point blank said, Wichita State's not going to be in the business of the players asking for millions and millions of dollars. I think we know that and we understand that now. Maybe someday, not right now. So who's out there that would be that? I think that's real interesting to me. Like who is still out there maybe in that process that isn't one of those players? And that becomes pretty interesting.
Well, my thought process is it's probably a trickle down effect. Like you've got the players that are in the draft that are going to remove themselves from the draft and then they become the top targets remaining in the portal. While there still are guys that are not in the NBA draft process right now that have not picked teams yet, they have not solidified their next team for next season. And they probably, you know, get knocked down the totem pole a little bit. And I would imagine those guys are probably the ones that, you know, Wichita State is keeping an eye on. I guess it could happen. I would be a little surprised if any of the, you know, new additions, if there is anybody new coming into Wichita State that hasn't already been announced, if it was a player that had been in the NBA draft process.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I think it would be somebody further down the line.
That part would be unlikely, but it could be somebody that's waiting on that decision to be made to know. And there's probably some honesty involved in some places with that where, you know, it could even be like high majors are like, we're going to need you to wait though. Like you got to wait if you want to. And so I'm sure that's happening and that will be very interesting to see. But even if it ended today, I like the mix of players. I like the mix of skill sets. He mentioned 7% better on paper shooting. We all know that that's been a problem for Wichita State for years and years and years, even before Paul Mills. And this is as good a collection of shooters coming in as has been assembled in the last whatever you want to call in the last while. It's been a while. Like on paper, this is the best group of shooters, just skills that we'll see. Does it translate? We'll find out. And then, of course, the defensive guys he brought in that are just, it's very clear that they're defensive. I think it all could work together. I think it's a good mix of players. How does it stack up with the rest of the league? You know, I try to look at that stuff. I have no idea. Right now, if you go to like 24/7, it puts Wichita State as the 9th best transfer class. I don't know what to make. I don't know what that's based on. You know, like, I don't know where that comes from or how they're trying to evaluate it. They don't even have some of the later additions added in there. So it to me, like, that's impossible. Like, what are we doing at that point? You know, like, everybody's going to have, let me look at Memphis. They're usually the team, and they will again, of course, they got Doug McDaniel, but you know, they've got some more high profile guys probably than the rest, at least where they came from. But other than that, like the next team on their list, USF, it's the same kind of thing, right? It's pretty much the same thing. Like, it's a lot of players that are trying to step into a bigger role in a bigger conference.
There were obviously a couple of players that Coach Mills talked about specifically just a few minutes ago. Caron Boyd is one of them, obviously being able to prioritize defense and what he did, what Caron Boyd did in that conference a year ago, I think is, you know, definitely something that can travel from one program to the next. And so I would anticipate, even in a situation where it's so hard to set expectations, I think from a defensive point of view, you can set expectations that Caron Boyd will be a really good, if not great, defender for Wichita State. I think that sort of thing can translate from program to program. It's really hard on the other side of the ball to be able to set expectations and say, yeah, on paper, they're 7% better in shooting than they were a season ago. How does that translate, though, when push comes to shove and you're actually in the middle of the game? That's really hard to set expectations for, but defense does travel. And so I do think that that's one area where we can probably set a little bit of an expectation that Caron Boyd can be somebody that can be a difference maker defensively. He called out Will Berg, and that was interesting to me. Like, I haven't heard, I mean, obviously he, you know, had a reserve role with Purdue. He's got a ton of size and all of that. I was really curious to know how the five position would pan out when we start the season for Wichita State. And Coach Mills didn't allude to, you know, whether or not Will Berg's going to be the starting center or what that looks like for them. But the fact that, you know, he's got experience in Big Ten basketball and all of that, you know, I think from a size perspective and a rim protecting perspective, that was an important mention as well.
Yeah, it's going to be, and that's why we didn't get into a lot of the specific players, honestly. Because it's like, what are you going to say? Like, you don't know yet. You haven't had a chance to really work them out. I will say, speaking of Caron Boyd, it helps when he came to Coke Arena and scored 16 points and had a nice game for East Tennessee, and you got to see him up close and personal. I'm sure that is why, and contributed to why that's first call. Like, any nugget you can get in the world, it's got to be valuable. Like, we saw this guy. Like, we liked what he did on tape. Let's, you know, that becomes an easier call to make. It's tough. It's tough out there. I don't know. I have to do a good job this year of refocusing the way that we talk about, like, what we're seeing on the court, because we've never seen an off season across basketball, not just at Wichita State, like this. Almost everybody is dealing with this sort of turnover this year. How do we then take that and use it to try and, like, understand progress? It's going to be different, I think, this year than it ever has been, honestly. And so everybody's going to have to adjust. Fans, us, players, coaches, like, we all have to make a quick adjustment here on what this might look like. How many years does it look like this? I think that's the million-dollar question. Like, is it this for a while? Is it this for a short term? What does revenue share do to help that? Those are the things that make it an unpredictable year. It really could be. Like, Tom, we could deal with this kind of crazy offseason this time only. I don't know if things can move that fast, but you have, like, the president of the United States lending an ear to former football coaches who are senators now, and Nick Saban, like, trying to maybe come up with some solutions. So I don't want to say it's going to take a long time when maybe it's not going to take a long time. I mean, who the hell knows, right? Like, we're just all kind of buckled up for the ride, but it will be this year. We, you know, this year we know we're going to have to look at it maybe under a different lens than we ever have before.
Yeah, I think that, you know, at the end of the day, it's making sure that you've got enough pieces that are versatile enough to basically build the identity that you're looking for with this team. And I think that Coach Mills, you know, has been very open and transparent since day one on what he values in a basketball player. And he even said it in the interview, you know, about a lot of guys out there that like basketball, but who loves basketball. You know, the default answer from some guys, like, I play because I'm tall, I play because I'm fast, whatever that is. But what's that next step? And so, you know, some of those intangibles where we don't know, we're not in the gym with them, we're not in the weight room with them, we don't know how that all pans out. At the end of the day, all we can go off of is what a lot of these players did at their previous stop. But it's the matter of all the ingredients coming together and having the right coach, having the right, you know, for lack of a better term, baker, if we're using a, you know, a cooking analogy here, to make all those ingredients come together to bake the right cake. And, you know, that's really what the question mark is going into this year. All the pieces, it seems, are there. We were wondering about that when you had guys like Ballard and Washington transfer out, and you had all the other, you know, contributors basically use up their eligibility, graduate, move on, all of that. What do those ingredients look like, and can it be brought together to make a successful team? I think the pieces are there. Now the question mark is, how do they gel? How do they come together?
Yeah, I mean, we think the pieces are there, right? We didn't know anything about any of these guys until a month ago, or what, we let 2 months now. That's the other thing I think we have to be fair about too, is we didn't know who these guys, we still don't. Like, we know the names. We know, I can look up their stats and say, oh, this guy at, you know, whatever, scored 7.8 points a game and shot. Like, yeah, we got to get him in and get a look. And we will soon. What did he say? June 2nd, early
June.
Yeah,
June 2nd.
So it's coming quick. It's coming quick, and we'll get a look. And we're going to get a look with K-State, and we're going to get a look with KU, and it all will come together. And hell, in 5 months, we're going to have some basketball to play. And that's what we're all looking forward to. It's going to be fun. I'm excited about it. Like, today, when I saw that he was out talking about the players today, it fired me up a little bit, Tommy, because it's like, okay, like, now we got a chance. Because otherwise, like, they can't talk. So we're trying to put it together. We're trying to guess. We're trying to do all this stuff. Well, yeah, no, now we get a chance to hear what it is about. And one thing that I appreciate, else, about that conversation is there was never a moment of, at least that I took, any sort of, like, pity, self-pity or desire for it. For how difficult this process is now, because make no mistake, it is insanely difficult for them to be a part of. Nope, not one time. And because what good does that do, right? And you hear some of the older coaches that have been around a long time, they complain about it all the time. And I'm like, guys, like, what? Okay, you don't like it, but that's what we're doing here.
It's now. Reality. So, like, it's just the reality of the situation.
Who cares if you don't like it or like it? Like, you got that's the environment you have to work in. We all do that every day. Like, yeah, you go. And so I thought that was good too. Just roll up your sleeves. The Portal Paul moniker, that has been one of my favorite things of the offseason. And they did some work, and maybe they have a little bit more work to do. You can go back and listen to that interview right now on the Odyssey. Well, not right now. Give us a minute. But later today on the Odyssey app. And then again, in the 9 o'clock hour, you'll hear it again as well. We've got Felix Johnson coming up next hour, so make sure you're here for that. We will get you ready for the Royals. We'll dig into the Royals game last night. If you missed the big hit, like most of us, I thought it was just me. Apparently it wasn't, as I looked this morning. Vinny Pasquantino's home run came while there was a glitch in the broadcast. I'm telling you. I'll tell you about that when we come back, Tommy, because it was annoying. I thought it was just me. Apparently it wasn't, which is kind of funny. We'll come back. Another hour of Sports Daily coming your way. Don't go away.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.